In the 1960s, many astronauts were household names. Think Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and John Glenn. But today, NASA astronauts are largely anonymous, and it's the people funding space travel that are more well-known. Think Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Chris Davenport writes about this. He covers the defense and space industries for The Washington Post, which, by the way, is owned by Bezos. He's also author of the book Space Barons, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the Quest to Colonize the Cosmos. And Chris, in your article about this, you write about some of NASA's new astronauts, and it seems like in some ways their roles are the same as they've always been in the sense of what they're actually doing, but in some ways it seems like their roles are different. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're similar in that, you know, they still get on rockets and go to space and, you know, are on the International Space Station, which has been continuously inhabited since 2000. And, you know, they go to space and we see those images of them, you know, twirling in a weightless environment and looking down on Earth from a distance. And, you know, in more recent years, they've gotten really active on social media. And but, you know, they're not in many ways like real explorers. I mean, we go to the International Space Station, which is 250 miles up. And, you know, we've been doing that now for many years without pushing further into space. And, you know, those first astronauts, those explorers who really were opening up frontiers at the beginning of the space age were real sort of national heroes and held a really significant spot in the public's consciousness and were really a part of, I think, the national identity. But today, you know, more than 550 people have been to space, and to be a NASA astronaut now is to be somewhat anonymous, even though they could sort of continue on that legacy.
How do the astronauts feel about that? I mean, I would imagine they wouldn't all say, yes, we'd like to be rich and famous and have ticker tape parades for us, but are they cool with being anonymous?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, they're very sort of self-effacing and they're there, you know, would tell you that they're there to serve. But I think within the astronaut corps and, you know, just in the space community in general, there is a desire to push deeper into space and to really explore and push the boundaries the way we once did. And now, I mean, a lot of people forget and don't realize that the United States government, NASA, does not have the ability to fly astronauts to space from U.S. soil. And now we pay Russia to fly our astronauts to the space station. I mean, it costs something like $80 million a seat. But we're at a critical time now where the U.S. is trying and is pretty close to restoring that capability to U.S. soil.
One of the lines that you wrote in the piece struck me as particularly interesting. And you write, in the digital age, the mantle of the right stuff is being bequeathed to the engineers and the programmers who are collapsing the line between pilot and passenger one line of code at a time. And I think that kind of goes to what you were just saying about how all these people have now been to space, but there isn't as much actual space exploration happening anymore.
Right. And what's happening now that you're seeing is NASA has partnered with private companies. And so SpaceX, for example, the space company in outside of L.A. that's founded by Elon Musk, is under contract by NASA to fly its astronauts to the space station, and first flights could be late this year or more probably early next year. And you're seeing a whole host of commercial, you know, companies like Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin or Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic that are, you know, these billionaires are pouring their own money into their companies with the idea of trying to get more and more people to space and to do it much more efficiently, much more affordably and reliably. And there could also be first flights of human tourists. I mean, people, ordinary people, albeit wealthy ones, who could afford a ticket on a suborbital space tourist mission.
What do the NASA astronauts who go through extensive and, from what I can tell, very rigorous training to get that job, what do they think about somebody who has a big enough bank account being able to go up into space?
Well, when I talked to them about it, they said they were supportive of it. I mean, I think everyone wants it to be safe, but then their point of view is that many, many more people should be able to get to space, that these astronauts know and they talk about in, you know, very sort of profound and personal ways about what going to space means to them and how it sort of changes their outlook on the world, on the environment, and, you know, what it means to be a human being even. I mean, I think there's sort of a profound has a profound effect on them, that if you see the Earth from a distance, you see countries without any boundaries, or, you know, just how thin the atmosphere is that is protecting all life on Earth from, you know, the vast vacuum and void of space, that it has a profound effect, and that if more people could experience that, and then say if the suborbital flights are successful and they're able to do it, and that'll be a very big challenge, that could have a profound cultural effect, you know, a real effect on society. And these astronauts, they know what it's like to be up there. And they come back and they say there's even a name for it. It's called the overview effect. And they, you know, when I talked to them about it, they got emotional about it. And they said they wanted more people to be able to experience that.
Do you think that this new public-private partnership that seems to be happening, maybe not so new anymore, in some ways do you think that might be able to lead to more exploration if it's not all on NASA, not all on the federal government to do it?
Well, that's what NASA and the federal government are frankly hoping. It started out under the Bush administration, where NASA was hiring private companies to fly cargo and supplies to the International Space Station. Then, under President Obama, they awarded contracts to SpaceX and Boeing to fly crews, to fly NASA astronauts from U.S. soil on American rockets to the International Space Station. And those first flights could come, you know, again, this year, early next. Now, under the Trump administration, there's talk of partnering with private industry to push out further, to go to the moon. Because I think that, you know, NASA realizes that, you know, their budgets have been relatively flat for a long, long time. You've got this new industry that's starting to creep up and has shown some success, that's backed by some entrepreneurs with some very deep pockets. And, you know, the White House and NASA wants to leverage that and realize that they're not going to be able to do it alone. They need to partner with the commercial sector, and not just the commercial sector, but with other countries. And they're viewing this as a collective effort, but that will really harness the technology and the efficiencies of the private sector. And let's not forget, you know, these companies approach it very differently from NASA, you know, which is a big government bureaucracy that has to go with the whims of the White House or with Congress. But these companies are free to kind of push as they see fit. And they've got a lot of efficiencies and a real advantage in some ways over NASA to be able to do that.
All right. Chris Davenport is a reporter with The Washington Post. He covers the defense and space industries. Chris, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.